Welcome, everybody, to these new city specials here in Spanish Loops. This is Francisco Glaria from Traveling States, and on the other side we have Jorge Roman from Traveling with Jorge. Jorge, how are you doing?
Hola, Francisco. I'm doing great. Everything is good. Lots of work. Thank heavens for that. And what about you? How's everything on your side?
Well, as you said, it's plenty of work. We're going crazy, which is perfect. Mm-hmm. And here we are, recording yet another city specials that we love so much.
Yes, and today is going to be about Valencia.
Valencia, de naranjas y limones. Na, 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 na,
na. Okay, guys, this is all for today.
Okay, I'm going crazy. I love Valencia.
Do one thing, Francisco, we need the rain. Keep singing.
Okay, I will be quiet. Anyway, Jorge, today you're leading our talk. So, as usual, in our city specials, we love to start with 1 minute and a half of history of the town. First of all, please, Jorge, locate for us Valencia, where it's in the map, and give us a minute and a half of history.
Well, that famous minute and a half. Okay, let's see how it goes. Well, Valencia is located in the east of Spain. And if you look at the map of the Iberian Peninsula, you're going to see that in the center, in the heart of the Iberian Peninsula, is the city of Madrid. Look to the right means east on a straight line. And on the Mediterranean shore, that is the city of Valencia. It's the closest big port to the capital city. By car, if you make it nonstop, it's like about 3.5 hours. That is the third largest city of Spain. The population of the city is almost 900,000 inhabitants, and the metropolitan area is 1.6 million. But let's start a little bit with history, okay? The city of Valencia, per se, was founded in the year 138 BC by the Romans. They started by building the Forum. You know, the Forum is like the meeting place for everything. It's like what today could be the lower chamber of any parliament in a square that today is found in Valencia's old town, precisely in the neighborhood of El Carmen. This continued until the year 1238, when King Jaume I expelled the Moors from the city. The Moors may have vanished from the city, but they left a mark that remains to this day in the artistic influences, recipes, and water system, believe it or not, to be found in the city. After that, it was the Renaissance period of Valencia. That was the golden era, and it is said to be during the 14th and 15th centuries. That was a time when the economy flourished due to the agriculture and maritime trade. This means that lots of emblematic buildings were constructed during this period. The buildings included Valencia Cathedral, the Towers of Serrano. Serrano, it comes from the word Sierra, mountain. So that means that those towers, they were facing the mountains of around Valencia. The Torres of Quart and the Silk Exchange Market, today called La Lonja, L-O-N-G-A. During this period, there was also a surge in the arts, meaning that it was the Renaissance period. During this time, what today is the headquarters of the Valencia regional government, it was a beautiful palace, and that is the time that that building was already built. Other buildings that are considered to be important from this period included the Basilica of Our Ladies of the Homeless or Helpless, the Marquis of Two Waters Palace, the Round Square, believe it or not, the Round Square or Piazza or Plaza, and the Fine Arts Museum that dates from the Baroque era and the period of Enlightenment.
Jorge. But also Valencia, it's very well known for another type of architecture, the modernism. You know, this modernist, like Gaudí style.
Yeah, you're right. Well, not Gaudí style, because Gaudí style is just unique, okay? Modernism in Spain is what is in the rest of Europe known as the Belle Epoque era, okay? But we adopted that name, modernism, in Spain. And Valencia has some history, some significant history about the creation and continuation of that style called modernism. That is an architectural style, and it was pioneered by the likes of, what you said, Gaudí in the 20th century. It can be distinguished by the use of organic forms. Many influences are taken from nature, and teamed with the Art Nouveau styles. It has a fair number of modernist buildings. One of them is, for instance, the North Train Station, the Central Market, and the Market of Columbus. In Spanish, we all know that Columbus is Colón, so it's Mercado de Colón. By the way, the Central Market in Valencia is the largest market building in Europe, covering 8,000 square meters and 1,500 food stalls.
Okay, now I know why I love that market so much.
So you've been there, right?
Ugh. Well, you know that our son, Nicolas, is studying in Valencia, so we go very often to Valencia. And every time we go to Valencia, we have to go to the market because there's always a good excuse to go buy there some, I don't know, horchata, which is a drink that they drink in Valencia. There's so much to enjoy. And it's a real market because there are some other markets around Spain that they have become tourist attractions or tourist traps.
Yeah.
This one is a real thing where locals buy.
That's true.
Okay, Jorge, so we know everything we needed to know about the history of Valencia. Thank you for that. It was almost a minute and a half. Congratulations. Now,
did I notice a little bit of sarcasm in that note?
Yes, a little bit. Yes, this much. Anyway, how do we reach Valencia?
Well, the airport of Valencia is a medium-sized airport, and it has several connections with some cities in Europe. But you know what happened, Francisco? Valencia is connected to Madrid with a high-speed train, and it takes only 1 hour and 40 minutes to get to Valencia from Madrid. So if you arrive to Madrid, you are not going to find many flights connecting Valencia because of the high-speed train being so short. It's not worth, you know, going to the airport and flying to Valencia. Anyway, the flight to Valencia, there is some, but not as many as it used to be in the past, is barely 40 minutes. It's just jump.
But I think the high-speed trains from Madrid, it's so good.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, you can go by car if you want to, but anyway, it depends where you're staying in Valencia, the hotels that we will be talking about, the hotels in a minute. If you drive from anywhere in Spain to Valencia, let's say from Barcelona or from Madrid, which are the big airports, of course you can drive, and there are highways, you know, there are highways, beautiful roads that get you there before that you blink twice. And the access to Valencia is very easy, either by plane if you want to, or high-speed train or car, and even buses services. I mean, the buses there takes about 4 hours. It's just non-stop as well, and you can see the landscaping.
Okay, thank you for that. Now we're in Valencia, and we need a place to stay, because Valencia is, and the surroundings, is a place that you can stay more than one night.
Oh, yeah, by all means, of course. Moving around in the region of Valencia is not that difficult because they have good connections with especially buses. And, if you want to go to another capital city of another province, that's perfect. It's like about an hour and a half or 2 hours to the furthest one. But if you want to stay around Valencia, the public transit inside of Valencia is really good. And hotels, okay, I've chosen two of them. One of them is like a little budget hotel, budgets with commas, right? Let's put it that way. It's very well located. It's in the heart of the city. And, you know, the name of the hotel is called Best Price. That's the name of the hotel, Best Price.
Okay. Best Price?
Yeah, Best Price. Yeah.
Okay. I guess they have the best price.
Well, yes and no. I mean, you have cheaper ones, but not with the quality that they give you for the price that you're paying. Okay. And, but it's very, very, very affordable. It's a very small hotel. I think it has like about 25 rooms only. But what happens with that is that you are in the heart of the city. Okay. And being in the heart of the city, you are not going to have a pool, you're not going to have the water, I mean the Mediterranean, close to you. You're going to be in the heart of the city, and it depends on the room that you get. You might be a little bit noisy because of the traffic, but as I said, the quality of the place for what you're paying is unbeatable, and it's in the heart of the city, only like about 10 minutes on foot from the train station. Besides, a very convenient thing, this hotel has a parking.
Okay, that's a very good thing because Valencia, it's complicated to park.
Well, very complicated to park, that's true, yeah. And also you have traffic restrictions. If you're not a resident, you cannot go in this inside of the core of the city. And in this place, because you are being going to be lodged into a hotel, you're allowed to go with a car as long as you park the car inside of the hotel. Okay? So let's state that very clear because that's very important. And the price per day is very, very affordable. I think that nowadays could be around 12 euros per day. So that is peanuts.
That is for Spain, that's a very cheap price for parking. Yeah, 12 euros a day, it's like perfect. Okay, Jorge, that's one of the hotels. Let's go for the second one.
Well, the second one is my favorite hotel. It's a resort, it's a spa, it's a five-star luxe, which I have been lucky enough to be there twice on working basis, don't get me wrong. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, it was not for love reasons, it was just working reasons.
That's right. And the hotel is called Las Arenas. Arenas comes from sand. And you might say, well, if it is Las Arenas, it might be by the water. It is by the water, but the beach is not close to it. It's just by the harbor. Okay, in the
Okay.
old days, I guess that it was supposed to be a beach there, but the harbor is being enlarged not so long ago. And now, right now, there is a huge, big project going on that they want to double the capacity of the cargo and the freight of the harbor. So it means that it's going to get bigger, but the resort is there. That is a very exclusive hotel. It's a five stars, great looks with a beautiful experience inside. The restaurant is incredible. Yeah, it is worth to be there. Obviously, if you're going to a place like Valencia, you want to discover the places around, you're not going to spend much time in the hotel that you're staying. You're going to be discovering places around. But, if you want to spend a couple of nights there just to relax and enjoy the place and have that experience, that is absolutely fantastic with the pool that they have, the saunas, the massage services, absolutely everything is fantastic.
I think I need to go to that place. Unfortunately, or unfortunately, thankfully, when I go to Valencia, I go to my son's apartment, which is, as you can imagine, okay, it's college student apartment. Okay, it's not a five-star hotel. Love my son, but hey, he needs a little bit more cleaning in that house. Anyway, Jorge, we know where how to get to Valencia. We know where to sleep in Valencia. But if Valencia is known for one very special thing, it is paella. Or as Americans say, paella. Where can we have the best paella in town?
All right. Here is the big discussion that Valencianos, the citizens of Valencia, they have always. Doesn't matter what they say, it will remain the way it is now. Paella, it does not exist as a food. Paella is the name of the pan.
Okay, fine, I'll take it. Yeah, but
No,
we all
I'm
call it
just, I
paella
just,
to the
I,
dish.
yes, of course. I'm just clarifying that, as a side note. But of course, everybody, when you go to a restaurant for a paella, you say, oh, we just want a paella. By the way, guys, don't put chorizo in your paellas, please.
Don't do that. Please don't do that. If you do that, I think it you go to hell.
It's a sacrilege. It really is a sacrilege. Okay. So, said that, maybe our listeners are wondering, so how is it called then what we know as a paella? Valencianos, they call it rice in paella, which means however is the rice cooked is in the pan, paella. Okay? But okay, let's focus in what is the best place for paella in Valencia. the food. I will go to Arroceria Maribel. That is the best place in town, which is a legendary place for rice. By the way, Francisco, when we say paella, many people have that image of the pan, you know, with the rice and a lot of seafood in there, with the red peppers, making it kind of, you know, like the perfect Instagram photo. What did you think is the original recipe of the real paella?
I mean, the real paella is with rabbit and snails, as far as I know.
Rabbit, snails, and fava beans.
Yeah, so I don't think many people will go for the real, I mean, for the traditional. I like it, but I'd rather have the seafood one.
Yeah, you know, same as me.
The one that you're talking.
I agree with you. Yeah, I cannot eat rabbits. That's one of the things. And it's emotional.
Okay.
I grew up with Bugs Bunny. Come on.
Okay, so yeah. I mean, to me, I don't have that emotional attachment to rabbits. So I love rabbits.
No, I don't. No. I tried it once just for the sake of saying, okay, I'll try it. And I have to admit, it's a very juicy and very tasty.
And it's very healthy as well.
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah. But I can't, I'm sorry.
Don't worry, you're not alone. I know my wife, she cannot eat rabbit. If she is served rabbit, she starts to cry also for emotional reasons.
Well, let's repeat the name, which is Arroceria Maribel. Do you have any favorites for rice in Valencia?
Yes, I mean, we go quite often. We like two places, really. One is called La Pepica.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Oh.
La Pepica is P-E-P-I-C-A. La Pepica is a very old, rugged place that everybody that you think has been there. It's a huge place. I mean, people like Hemingway and Avogadner. But it's a very humble place, good, amazing paellas. Everything else is very good, but go there for the paella.
And that is one of the few places where they still make the paella with the orange tree logs.
Yes, there we go. The traditional way. The good old traditional way. The other way does not. The other place that we like it is that they do the old traditional way. It's called Casa Carmela. Mm-hmm. C-A-R-M-E-L-A. It's on the beach, a little bit far, very close to the Patacana. It takes a while to go all the way there. You need to go by taxi. But to me, it's worth it. It's a little bit more pricey, but it's totally off the beaten path. And really, it's a very, very good paella.
It's within the city of Valencia, but far from the city center. But as you said, it is worth going. And if you need to take a taxi and you're going to pay like about return, let's say like 20, 22 euros from your hotel to the place and return, you know, I think it's worth it. A good place, right?
Yeah. I mean, and one thing that we need to tell our listeners, the real paella, when you go to a paella place in Spain, if it's a cheesy paella or a tourist trap, normally you see the pan and there's a lot of rice into it. The real paella is very, very thin.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't get a lot of rice.
When you say thin, you mean the layer of rice?
Of rice. There we go.
Right?
It is very thin. Mm-hmm. And one thing that it's, to some foreigners, it's a little bit shocking. If it's a good real paella, it has something that is called socarrat.
Oh, yeah.
Socarrat, which
please.
In Spain, we all fight for that.
Yeah.
It is the pieces that are overcooked and they're sticked to the pan. So you have to scrape them and eat them. So it's all the flavors plus the crunchy. Plus, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So a good real paella, first thing, if they tell you, we'll bring it right away, that is a frozen paella. Paella needs minimum 15 to 20 minutes to be done for you. Mm-hmm. Second, it's going to be very thin. If it's very thick, it's going to be not the real thing. And the third tip for people getting paella, go and fight for the socarrat, for the burnt part. You will, once you try that burnt part, you will learn and you will understand why Spanish people fight for that socarrat.
I would be one of them fighting for it.
I would kill somebody for that. So, you know, it's one of the things that suddenly I'm not the father. I was like, get out. Don't touch my socarrat. I fight for it, even with my kids.
Francisco, let me add another thing about for the real paella thing that you mentioned. You mentioned 3 points, okay? Let me mention a fourth one. Whenever you're reading on the menu of a restaurant, everything that you said, 15, 20 minutes, it has to be specified there. And also the soccer wrap thing, etc. But there's something very important that people should know. If you read also that it says that it has to be minimum 2 people, because they don't cook paella for one, minimum for two, which is the size of the paella pan, okay? If you read 20 minutes, a minimum 2 persons, that means that it's cooked fresh for you. Otherwise, it's what you said before, it would be a scam or it would be just out of a microwave, and you don't want to waste your money on that.
It might not be bad, but it's not going to be the real thing. And
I
you
know.
will be, why are all of these Spanish people so crazy for paella? Because you're not trying the good one.
That's right. You should try mine one day. Okay, I mean, you have mentioned these restaurants, which I totally agree with them. I also mentioned the other one
Yes.
about paella, but there is a little curiosity here about some of the restaurants in Valencia that, believe it or not, there are 9 Michelin stars in Valencia.
Wow.
Yeah. And out of the 9 restaurants, 2 of them, they do have 2 Michelin stars.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and one of the big surprises in the last edition of the Michelin stars, just given to the restaurant, was a restaurant that just by accident last year I went there and I was shocked about how good the food was. And the name is Fraula, Fraula. I mean, it was a huge surprise. That place was very famous among Valencianos, the locals. When they were nominated, they were a big thing, oh wow, we are nominated. But when they got it, they never believed it, and now they're totally overwhelmed. Everybody wants to go there, and it's nothing fancy. The place, obviously, it's a little bit, I'm not gonna say it's a budget place, but I would say it's good food with a good wine, maybe 50, 60 euros per head, which is very affordable. And
It's
now
perfect. I mean,
but now with the thing that they have a Michelin star, it's
they
kind
have
of,
waiting lists now, I guess.
I mean, I told you, I discovered that by accident last year. So as you mentioned that you're going now frequently to Valencia to see your son, try it and,
I need to go there now. Thanks for the tip. Okay, Jorge, so we know everything about Valencia, but what are the highlights of the city? What are the must visit things when we are in Valencia?
Good question, Francisco, because there are more than people might think about it. First of all, don't forget that Spain, by tradition, has been a Catholic country for centuries. So it means that the cathedral is a must. I personally, when I go to a place, I like to go to the cathedrals, not because of religion, but because of the art that you see inside. And Valencia Cathedral, they discovered in the very first decade of this century, they discovered some frescoes from the Florentine school, dated from the 1300s or 1400s, and they were just covered with plaster and a layer of bricks. And it was just, they were painting that dome, and one of the builders, they heard some noise that they didn't know where it coming from. So some, let's say the manager of the building or the reformation they were doing, they got up there and they said, well, this sounds like it is inside of a chamber, like if it was a double dome. So they opened a hole and they inserted a camera, and they discovered that it was a double layer. So what happened when they opened up a bigger hole, they found those beautiful frescoes, and because it's been covered for so long and the construction from the outside was so well preserved and so well isolated, those frescoes, they were in pristine conditions. Besides, in one of the wings of the cathedral, there is supposed to be the real
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail. That's right. Yeah. Well, one of the many Holy Grails that they are all over the world, isn't it?
Well,
But
one of the many real holy grails that are of the world. Right. I've seen it. The one in Valencia. Have you seen the one in Valencia?
Yeah,
it's beautiful. Right. I don't care if it's a real one or not.
It is so simple that it's just beautiful.
It's beautiful.
We're not going to make any spoiler here of what it is and what it's made of. But I mean, it's a, how can I put it? It's a piece of faith. Let's put it that way. Okay. Anyway, what else? You have to go to the market. The one that we have mentioned before, it's just an experience to go there and wander around. If you go to the fish section, it is just endless. If you go to the veggies, my goodness, with all the fruits that they are around in Valencia. Have you ever heard of the oranges of Valencia, Francisco?
It's one of the most important things in Valencia.
Exactly. So, but not only oranges, citrus in general, and also fruits, because it's a very fertile area. Also, the meat section is absolutely incredible. Just opposite that market, the food market, the central market, is that how they call them? They have what they call the lonja, L-O-N-J-A, which is the old trading places for silk, which is a beautiful, absolutely fantastic Renaissance building made up with those columns that they're twisting around. And it's just breathtaking. I have no words to describe that.
To me, it's one of the most beautiful buildings in Spain.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. And then some years ago, some decades ago, Valencia had a big problem. Valencia, there is a river that crosses the city, which is called Turia River, T-U-R-I-A. And in the late 50s, they had a huge, big flood that destroyed totally the city center. They took ages to recover. Anyway, what they did is they diverted the river before entering the city of Valencia, and they made a huge, big canal, let's call it that way, to divert the river. But the old riverbed is still there, and they have converted that riverbed from the city limits of the city of Valencia to the former mouth of the river into a long park. Let's say in the last third section, which is closer to the water, they have created a kind of a complex called the City of Arts and Sciences. It was a very famous, worldwide known architect called Santiago Calatrava that has made amazing buildings around there, like the Palace of Arts and Sciences, the Opera House, the Agora Building, some bridges connecting one side of the city with the other. And it is just like going to the 27th century.
It is the future of architecture.
Yeah, you're exactly. Right. Yeah. I am a fan of Santiago Calatrava. Just for our listeners over here, he's the one who designed Ground Zero in New York City, the train station that, by the way, Francisco, you and I, we have been there together.
There to the Oculus.
Yeah, that's right. In the Oculus, that's right. We've been there. And we were just mouth-dropped by what he did out there. So also the, you know, all the complex around is like fantastic. It's something out of this world. So yeah, that's another place that you need to see when you are in the city of Valencia. And I mean, the list is endless, and I could go in here for a long time saying what to do, but just the City of Arts and Sciences in Valencia, I would say that you'll be very, very short if you dedicate just one day, because just going into the big museum, which is the Museum of Arts and Sciences, dedicated to nature, you can spend the whole day in there. Absolutely.
I mean, there's so much to see in Valencia. Yeah. So, Jorge, I think we have done a good summary, or you have done a good summary of Valencia. Do you have anything else to add to the city?
I think that with everything that we have said, it's more than enough for people just to get a very first input about what to do, where to go, where to eat, where to sleep, how to get there to the third largest city of Spain.
Okay, Jorge, so I think this is all we want to share with everybody about the city of Valencia. For our listeners, remember that Jorge has an amazing website that you can see all his tours. It is travelingwithjorge.wordpress.com, or please don't forget to check all his social media, which is Traveling with Jorge.
Thank you, Francisco, for saying that. And guys out there, if you want to check what Francisco is wondering about next year at his tours as well, His website is travelingsteps.es, and you can find him in Facebook under his name, Francisco Glaria Baines. Francisco, thank you very much for, you know, just being here again for another week. And I hope everything goes fine. And shall I see you next week? Will I?
I shall see you next week. If everything goes right, I will be here.
Perfect. Okay, chicos, thank you so much. Have fun.
Adios, amigos.
And as usual, we want to thank all our listeners for being there every week, letting us sharing our talks. Follow us in Spanish Loops in Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite platform.
And in Instagram, you can find us as The Spanish Loops Podcast, no spaces, all together. If you want to find us the quickest way, just Google Spanish Loops Podcast and you will find us. Hasta la vista, amigos.
See you next week.